Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five 35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., I'll be on with Newsmax Television. We'll be on First Edition. Deneen Borelli is a marvelous woman, and John Burnett. John Burnett actually was one of the guys I was traveling with in Israel last week. So we've got a lot of stuff we'll be doing tomorrow on the television program. Again, First Edition on Newsmax. I'll be there at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. It's been a busy Newsmax week this week. I think it's the third hit I've done for them. And you know, I love Newsmax. I love Chris Ruddy and the team. They're great people. I think the world of Tony Pham as well. I really do. Tony, of course, headed up ICE for President Trump and is now the senior fellow over at the America First Policy Institute, writing about homeland security, immigration, things of that sort, border security. He's got a great piece out. Just dropped it today, and I want to talk about that. Tony, thanks for being here.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on your show again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, listen, the pleasure is always mine. I love getting your insight. You have a great piece today at the America First Policy Institute website, AmericaFirstPolicy.com. And I'm just going to give everybody the headline, then I want you to dive into the details. Congress must act to prevent sanctuary jurisdictions from harboring criminal illegal aliens. All right, what's going on? Is there legislation we need to know about?
Not yet, Jeff. Our position is advocating the need for congressional action. And this is based on individual experiences that occurred when you have jurisdictions that are recalcitrant and do not want to cooperate with ICE and its immigration enforcement. And they use multiple different avenues for excuses. In the policy paper, we talk about identifying, simply put, that some folks, just like sheriffs or regional jails, are not wanting to cooperate because they're fearful of potential litigation that comes from the illegal alien under the Civil Rights Act for, you know, detention. I'll give you an example. In Henrico, back in 2015, there was a lawsuit filed against the Henrico sheriff where the illegal alien accused the sheriff of holding the individual past their state crime release date, and believe it or not, got a settlement using taxpayer-funded dollars to settle the case. The other issues we identified, simply put, was there were some, I would say, contradictory rulings. And one major ruling, because I dealt with this when I was the in-house counsel for the sheriff's office in Richmond, was out of the Third Circuit, the Galarza case, which identified detainers as being voluntary and not mandatory. So we have identified through the paper, and I recommend your listeners to go to AmericaFirstPolicy.com, pull up the paper. That's why we published it, for folks to read it, digest it, and understand why we're pushing for congressional action that does a few things, because Congress sets the laws, right? They pass the immigration enforcement laws. And what we're asking and hoping that from a policy position is that since we have, you know, since conservatives have both the Senate and the House, this may be a good time to revisit the original, original legislation called the No Sanctuary for Criminals Act, as well as the No Bailouts for Sanctuary Cities Act, both of which address the very concerns that we identified as what creates this environment where certain actors like sheriffs or jails or even localities are fearful to cooperate with ICE. And we want to be able to lift that veil of fear and give them some comfort through legislative enactment so they feel comforted and actually somewhat protected to enforce immigration laws to protect their communities and advance the America First agenda.
Interesting. What sort of standing, if any, do these jurisdictions have to not cooperate? I'm not an attorney, but I know that our Constitution has something about, supremacy clause, federal laws, blah, 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 blah. Is there any legal standing for Mayor Wu in Boston or Governor Pritzker in Illinois to do what they're doing?
Sure, absolutely. Look, let me point to how Florida is getting it done and getting it done correctly, right?
Yeah.
The governor there and the legislature there was able to pass legislation that actually mandated that they enforce immigration laws. I know in Georgia, as another example, legislation, again, was passed that mandated cooperation via the 287G process under the Immigration Nationality Act. So the legislative route seems to be the route that provides the, I call what, the sword, right? Mm-hmm. For jurisdictions who want to cooperate or sheriffs who want to cooperate, but provides them the sword to do so. But it's also legislation that provides the shield, that protects them from these ludicrous claims that a criminal alien can file a lawsuit against a sitting sheriff after doing their time on a criminal offense and then sue the sheriff, scare the sheriff into settling the case, and then getting money from taxpayer-funded treasury. And that's offensive. And so, having lived that, right, Jeff, I when I speak about policy, having served in various different, the legal space for immigration at ICE, the operational space at ICE as the director, and then most recently as the policy as the assistant secretary, I blend all of that experience and bookend it with my experience in running a correctional facility who had ICE detainees to put together a pretty much a conclusion, which is we do need legislative enactment to help shield these sheriffs in these red sheriffs in these blue towns and blue states who want to help ICE but are fearful that that they're going to be on the receiving end of retribution via lawsuits or things of that matter.
Tony Pham is joining us, and Tony has worn many hats throughout his very, very distinguished career. I'm glad you brought up the correctional part of this. You ran Virginia Peninsula Regional Jail, and you got these detainers from ICE. Now, explain to everybody what that is, because there seems to be a dispute. Is it a directive to you as the superintendent of that facility to hold this person till we show up? Is it a request to you to hold that person? Is it something else? What actually does that mean?
So far, it's been identified in the Third Circuit as a request to hold. And again, there are a couple of attorney general's opinions out there from, again, blue state attorney generals that have been very clear that these items are requests and not mandatory. I'll even point to our illustrious former Attorney General Mark Herring issued the exact same legal opinion, even though I thought it was flawed. But it is in his position, it was his right to issue that, his interpretation of what a detainer is. But let me say this, in Virginia, right, Jeff, the legislature was very, very, very astute. And in order to shield jails such as mine and sheriffs and local sheriff-run jails, they passed legislation that permitted these correctional facilities to tender over physical custody of an illegal alien to ICE while still in state custody 5 days in advance of what we call their EOS, their end of sentence, right? And so all it's in the statute, again, legislative enactment on the state level that allowed the transition and transfer of an illegal alien that ICE has identified as someone that they want. And they can do it for no more than 5 days, but they can still do it and release them into custody 5 days in advance of having to release them to the street. I thought that was brilliant back in 2015. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of undercuts any sheriff or any regional jail here in Virginia who is recalcitrant and feel that they do not want to cooperate with ICE. I don't understand that. When you read the paper, we have all of the tools in our toolkit to keep our American community safe and our American citizens safe by engaging in this safe transfer. Jeff, we're not talking about, and I want to zero in on the population set that this talks about. We're talking about the lawful and legal transfer of an individual who is illegally in this country, who violated federal law to get into this country, who then subsequently committed a crime and received an active jail sentence and has been incarcerated either in the State Department of Corrections or a local jail. Those are individuals that have already on two separate occasions shown the American people that they cannot follow the law. They got into the country entry without inspection, and then they subsequently saw fit to commit a crime, get arrested, get prosecuted, convicted, and jailed and sentenced. This is the whole purpose of ensuring there's continued custody from the illegal immigrant from the correctional center to ICE custody to deportation, so we can ensure the American people and the public that these dangerous criminal aliens do not get released into our communities. But sanctuary jurisdictions who openly defy the cooperation with ICE, mm-hmm. what they're doing is they're lumping everyone in there and saying, we're going to be a sanctuary for all to include criminal aliens. And so the paper talks about the need for legislative movement to finally standardize across the board, across the United States, legal protections, especially under the federal claims that may come from these illegal aliens who are held past their release date on state-based charges.
Interesting. What about I don't want to say it's a threat, but the possibility, because you address this in this piece a little bit. I do remind everybody that you go and read it. AmericaFirstPolicy.com is where you'll find the latest from Tony Pham. America.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Firstpolicy.com. The possibility of the federal government, either through legislation or some sort of an executive order, saying, hey, you're not going to follow the law. We're not sending federal funds. Can it be that direct?
Absolutely, it can be direct. And Jeff, if you don't mind me giving a shout out, I want to be able to say this publicly, right? A very humble guy. I work with a fantastic group of folks at America First Policy Institute, right? Cooper Smith and Cassidy Scott are also signed on to this paper. So it's not just Tony Pham. These individuals love this country. They too are in the fight to advance policies that protect the American communities. But back to your point, absolutely, it's straightforward, and we advocate for that. We advocate for the restriction of the federal purse to those jurisdictions who openly and willfully refuse to cooperate with our federal immigration enforcement authorities. And I will give you another great example. Look, in Virginia, I go back to that statute. You know, the legislature, the House, and the Senate made clear when they passed that legislation, we are giving you local jails an out. And there are jurisdictions, and I'm going to name it, just like Richmond, Virginia, who still openly say, and the sheriff there, that we are not going to cooperate with ICE. And in my mind, it makes no sense as a former prosecutor, right, who worked in the city of Richmond, Jeff. That's my history.
Yeah,
I came up in that environment. I worked for a Democratic prosecutor. I worked for a Democratic sheriff. And I wonder, why are we allowing those policymakers and members of the executive branch to willfully defy a legitimate request to hold and transfer and knowingly releasing dangerous criminal aliens back into our communities and run the risk? All right, I want to be clear. My statement is run the risk of these individuals reoffending and hurting someone in our community again. You already have custody of these people. Why aren't we in a position to force them, at least if we have to? We don't want to have to force individuals to do this, something that is commonsensical, isn't it, Jeff? It's commonsensical. If you're a sheriff and you have an illegal alien who is in your custody for violating state statute, why wouldn't you want to simply say, I swore an oath to protect our communities. You're here in my jail for a reason. We're not letting you out. And I'm going to give you one last example because I know I'm taking up a lot of your time. People say, well, it's a civil offense, Jeff, do you realize that we do have civil commitments for violent sex offenders?
That's right.
Individuals that claim that they finished their time. No, I'm not going to parse whether it's felony or violent. I'm just going to simply say these folks have been convicted. They did their time, whatever time the jury or the judge may have given them. Mm-hmm. But there's statute and language that allows people to then civilly commit these individuals in state-run hospitals. And so we're okay. We're not claiming civil liberties in that context. But we're going to try to lobby for the release of a criminal alien without acknowledging that, we do already do that. And forgive me, I try not to accept the hypocrisy nor the double standards in our application of the law. I try never to do that in my role as a member of the executive branch. So it never made sense to me that you have a criminal alien in your possession, in custody, and ICE wants them. So it's as easy as protecting your communities and turning them over. So I'm hoping that I gave folks a reasonable basis for understanding the argument as to why we need legislative action.
Excellent. Hey, Tony, I don't mean to cut it. We're way out of time, but I appreciate you being here. I'm going to send everybody AmericaFirstPolicy.com. That is Tony Pham, former director of ICE for President Trump, now senior fellow at the America First Policy Institute. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.